We've been calling it the best 5 minutes of the day for, we're into the fourth year of this now, but, you know, a couple of times here this morning I've thought of calling it the best friends minutes of the day. So how's that, Jason Cairns?
That's an improvement, I think.
Oh, yes. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well.
All right. Well, life is hard. God is good. What do you think about that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that is true.
So I came across the statistic, and I'm just bringing it up now, but we only do Mental Health Monday occasionally, but I thought maybe we'd do it again today because, you know, study after study shows the mental health challenges, especially for teens and especially for teen girls.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the article you shared with me suggested 60% of teen girls experiencing significant sadness and feelings of hopelessness, which is a really high number, higher than it is with boys, which is fairly typical through the years that girls will rate higher on depression than boys do, but boys are not far behind.
And it seems like social media plays a part, but then also kind of still the fallout after the pandemic, right?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting reading through the article. Social media is definitely a factor. I think of that as something we didn't really have to navigate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's that. There was the mention of the pandemic, which for those of us who work in medicine and behavioral health, that is such a huge factor in terms of overall mental health. And so that continues to be one. I think some of the overly sexualized comments that girls continue to hear, maybe one of the reasons their numbers tend to be higher. That was commented upon several times in the article. I think there's just, a general sense of the world is not as it should be.
Mm-hmm. And that is true. That is true. I'll just be honest, coming here, I mean, hopefully I'm honest all the time, but I mean, just that deeper level. Peeling back the onion, if you will. I mean, just like, I don't know, I was really battling depression yesterday. And it can be, I don't know, my wife was away. I'd been out to see Elena's competitive dance, your daughter Tessa and your wife in Shakopee, Minnesota. And we weren't at Valley Fair. But I don't know, it could have been, you know, somewhat the Milwaukee Bucks being down 2-1 in the series and Giannis out. But, I mean, it seemed heavier than that. When depression settled in, it's like this big cloud and it just sort of falls upon you, and sometimes you just don't know why. Can you relate?
100%. I think of a story many years ago when Heather and I were looking at getting a different house, and she came in and was asking me some questions, and I just started crying. Mm. And she was like, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "I really don't know."
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of started diving in more deeply. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things about depression is people often think of depression as sadness, but just as commonly it's kind of this loss of this kind of an emotional numbing or loss of interest or loss of drive. And, you know, so it's kind of a deceptive animal, the way in which it can affect us. And so I definitely relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, and we can come up with all sorts of things. I think food is probably the top of the list in terms of trying to but a million other ways, well, maybe not a million, but I mean ways to kind of numb out. And once we peel that back a little bit, then some of those feelings of depression that maybe we've been trying to run away from, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely an avoidance thing that, I mean, it's challenging, right, to want to sit in that space with that discomfort and sadness. And and so whether it's, you know, cookies or our cell phones, you know, we definitely find ways to try and avoid.
All right, I'm going to hold James today because Earth Day was Saturday. Stephen Curtis Chapman put this together. Give this a listen. Oh, let me see if I... Somebody turned off the... Huh. All right, I'm going to have to check.
Okay.
All right, I'm not sure what the problem is. Let's see.
Okay.
All right, well, so much for that. Okay, we're coming up. I was going to share that with the listeners. Well, let's see. Typically, let's stick with James then. James chapter 3, verses 2-5.
Sure. It says, "Indeed, we all make mistakes. for, if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire.
Mm-hmm. And Letters to the Beloved, you say, I know that you'll say things you regret sometimes. Everyone does. If a person never made mistakes in what they said, you might think that they were perfect. Unfortunately, that tiny organ can cause big trouble. Just like a rudder on a ship or a bit in a horse's mouth, your tongue can lead your whole body to places you do not want to go. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It does. Maybe that should be the next approach, is to do it in the voice of Dr. Seuss. No, you know, I think it's true, this idea that, I know it's true for me, and having talked to you, I suspect it's true for you, that we say things that are, we regret deeply, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we say things that make us go, oh, I should not have said
mm-hmm.
that.
And,
so yes, that tiny organ can cause big trouble.
You don't want to eat your words. Sometimes they don't taste good.
Right, for sure. For sure.
Thank you, Jason.
I know that from experience.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. WWIB. Birthdays and our promise of the day coming up. Lots more great music and lyrics you can trust. Starting with the birthday celebrant from the CCM world. Find out who it is coming up. But first, hey, I got an idea just for fun. How many streaming services can you name?
Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO, Showtime.
The Whip Wake Up Show, a weekend recap. We love alliteration in the show, so I'm going to go dentist, dancing, and disappointment. Dentist, Friday. Yeah, I'd had a filling. I've got a wisdom teeth filling, and I said that to one of my coworkers, my other job, and he's like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. Got a big mouth, able to keep my wisdom teeth, and they're tough to brush. Had a filling, it fell out, got replaced on Friday. Thank you to the dentist who believes this is going to be good to go. Dancing, not me, but my daughter Elena, not here, but in Shakopee, Minnesota. So, got a bit of driving in on Saturday. Hats off to my wife who traveled with said daughter, Elena, Friday and got back late Sunday, the second of three competitive dance weekends. Infinity Dance, outstanding. They do, Caleb, I mean, the costumes, the dances, wow. Elena, fantastic. Her acro duet, the contemporary, the lyrical, her and all of the male and female dancers there, outstanding. Hats off to them and so many of the great studios that were a part of that. There was a Sonny and Cher montage, though, this boy and girl. That was one that sticks with me. And somebody performed to the Mercy Me song, Even If. And
wow.
Finally, the disappointment in the world of sports, where, the Bucks lost, down 2-1 without Giannis. Will he go? We'll find out tonight. Sports prayers for him. And then the Brewers. Wow. Up 4-3, eighth inning. Boston explodes for 9 runs. So here we are.
Yeah, exactly. So trying to get through some sickness in the Swenson household. And so we kind of kept it close to home for Saturday and Sunday. I will say started off Friday night while Lily was still there. We finished off this season of The Mandalorian, watched the final episode. Mm. Loved it. We just really, really enjoy that show, and this season did not
nice.
Disappoint. So that was great. But Saturday, again, watch the Bucks. That was about the only NBA basketball that really sat down and watched at length. And, that was kind of a bummer. But, again, played it close to home, ran a couple short errands, but read a lot of books and hung out at home. And then a Sunday, again, just felt like, hey, we should just keep it home one more day here. And so watched the live stream, thankful for that. Not a substitute for being at church in person, but at least it's available. And then I will say the cap of my weekend was something that I despise, absolutely despise doing, but I love my boy. And so Black Friday, we got Cooper a basketball hoop. I grew up with a basketball hoop, wanted my son to have a basketball hoop. Not that the daughters wouldn't enjoy it too, but they're just not mm-hmm. as sportsy, at least at the moment, as Cooper is. But I absolutely hate putting things together.
Mm.
I hate it. But I love my boy. And so this project, started a little before 2 o'clock. I think it was well after 6 o'clock when I realized, okay, we're finally to the point where we can go get the sandbags. So it was probably 7:30 at night before it was actually done and up. my wife took pity on me and helped a lot. I could not have done it without my wife, who is way more handy than I am.
Thank you,
but again,
Lindsay.
Things with tools and everything's labeled. It's like put part BDA into CDX. I don't know. I don't understand. I watch YouTube videos again and again. I still don't understand.
Yeah.
I thought I had enough tools. It seems like I don't have enough tools. I ran out of Krishna vocabulary in the first 15 minutes. It just... But I love my son.
Yeah.
And so I did something I hate doing. Because again, just you and I have talked about this. We're not real handy kind of guys.
No.
I think we both would say we wish we could be, but just not. And so I did something I would rather just have somebody else do it, but there's nobody else available. So with my wife's help, we got that basketball hoop up and I enjoyed some wonderful time as the evening darkened last night before it got dark, where my son and I played basketball in our own driveway for the first time.
Cool.
And I dare say that made it all worth it.
Ah.
So that was good. That basketball hoop, if you ever drive by my house, it is a monument to love between a father and son.
That's beautiful. Make us laugh Monday. Cliff got us started with a joke early this morning. Well, I'll tell you what, Caleb, he is pushing hard for Listener of the Week. He had three birthdays and a joke this morning.
Wow. So,
yeah.
On a Monday.
I know. He was rested and ready to go. All right. And the birthdays were from people in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and I think Rice Lake. So, I mean, he's covering, checking all the boxes. All right. We got three jokes apiece, and they're all Earth Day related here, coming out of Earth Day over the weekend. So here we go. My first one. Caleb, why is grass so dangerous?
I'm not sure.
Because it's full of blades.
Oh, dear. All right, six Earth Day jokes here in the Wib Wake Up Show.
Uh-huh.
What did the ground say to the earthquake?
What?
You crack me up. That's pretty good.
I like it. Caleb, what happens when it rains cats and dogs?
I'm not sure.
Well, you have to be careful not to step in a poodle.
Oh, man.
All right. My next Earth Day joke here. What kind of plant fits in your hand?
What kind?
A palm tree.
I wish. And finally this morning, why are recycle bins so optimistic?
Not sure.
Because they're full of cans, you know, can do.
There you go. And one final Earth Day joke here. What did the tree wear to the pool party?
What?
Swimming trunks.
Ah, of course. Of course.
There you go. And if you think our jokes are corny, it's, you know, agriculture, Earth Day, etc.
We could go on all day with these.
We could.
Well, a segment here called the Flavor Graveyard. Let's explain. It's not summer yet, but people looking forward to ice cream time. And even the best Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavors eventually melt away. And so they've got their own Flavor Graveyard where they take a flavor out and say, you know, we're done with this one.
Yeah, didn't make the cut or didn't last.
Right.
And so we'll regale you with some of those flavors in the graveyard of Ben and Jerry's and maybe what they said about them.
Starting off with Aloha Macadamia. This is back in 2001 and 2. Rich milk chocolate cashew Brazil nut butter ice cream with macadamia nuts covered in white and dark fudge and milk chocolatey swirl. Sounds good.
All of these sound good to me.
They've got a little poem. We won't blame the macadamia, but we were kind of in denial. The marketplace had spoken. Mac got Aloha'd off the aisle.
How about this one? Chocolate chip cookie dough frozen yogurt. Chocolate chip cookie dough frozen yogurt in the Flavor Graveyard of Ben & Jerry's. This was from 1994 to 2001. Vanilla frozen yogurt with gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough. And again, the Ben and Jerry's poem. So now we know our dough froyo just wasn't as great as expected. Folks who love dough as well as froyo love them separate, not interconnected.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, you'd hear, just upon initial hearing, you go, well, for sure that would last, but it's a competitive marketplace, right? How about the Bovinity Divinity? Yeah, Wisconsin with our cows. This is 98 to 2001. Milk chocolate ice cream and white fudge cows swirled with white chocolate ice cream and dark fudge cows. So they close with this. Where do all the cows go when heaven gives the word? This flavor kicked the bucket when angels took the herd.
How about Cool Britannia? This was from 1995 to 1998. It was vanilla ice cream with strawberries and fudge-covered shortbread. Yeah, very British. But didn't make it very long. They say a flavor so smashing and yet it fouled out. Strawberries and shortbread, a love match devout. But sadly, it missed all the fame it deserved. A bit too much English put into the serve.
These are clever.
I like coconut. So I'm picking coconutterly fair. This is from 2011 and 12. Chocolate ice cream with coconut caramel swirls and a chocolatey covered coconut caramel crunch. And didn't make it. So here we go. Chocolate and coconut, fair trade, we must add. A taste sensation we'd hoped, but it's gone now. So sad.
How about Dastardly Mash? This was way back when, 1979 to 1991. It was chocolate ice cream with pecans, almonds, raisins, and chocolate chips. And note one item in there, as Ben and Jerry says, here the brazen dastardly flavor lies. Some say that raisins caused its demise.
Mm. Oh, boy. I can hear my friend Jason on that one saying, so economic crunch, it only made it 1 year. It really hardly got out of the gate. Vanilla with chocolate-covered almond, pecans, and walnuts. This is the closing poem. A delightful mash, this flavor we remember for the stock market crash on the 6th of November.
One more from the flavor graveyard for me, from Ben and Jerry's. Fresh Georgia peach sounds delicious. It was vanilla ice cream with fresh Georgia peaches. 1986 made its debut, only lasted until 1991. And they say fresh picked peaches trucked from Georgia tasted great, but couldn't last because Georgia's quite a ways away and trucks don't go that fast. Except for our friends from Tree Ripe Fruit Company.
It makes you appreciate the ice cream flavors that do last.
Yeah. I mean, these are a lot of great flavors that, again, for one reason or another, just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
The Flavor Graveyard from Ben and Jerry's. Having some fun with that this morning. And a tune of the same name from J.J. Weeks. This is called Graveyard. Brand new music from him on WWIB, where we are family. Now I want ice cream.
The Wib Wake Up Show on WWIB. Caleb, science wasn't my best subject, but this is fascinating. Scientists plan to build a factory that can breed 5 billion mosquitoes every year. Now, just, I know that doesn't sound good.
I'm just imagining how they're going to hire people to work in said factory.
Why would somebody want to do this?
Well, we breed mosquitoes.
I know. Upon initial hearing, I know when I saw this, when I told you about it, it was like, what? Why? Please, no, right? Well, tell us more, Caleb.
So, this is why they're building a factory that can breed 5 billion mosquitoes every year. The good people at the World Mosquito Program have a vision for the future. The organization's facility will produce mosquitoes and release them into urban areas in Brazil over the next decade. But these are not traditional mosquitoes. They are modified.
Yeah. First of all, let me just say, take them to Brazil, please. Not here in Wisconsin. We got enough.
We have enough.
Okay, these are going to be modified mosquitoes carrying the Wolbachia pipinctus bacterium, which prevents them from transmitting viruses.
Now, the plan is that these modified mosquitoes will breed with wild mosquitoes.
That's right. Over time, the enhanced mosquito population will reduce the infection rate for dengue, which infects 2 million people in Brazil every year.
So this is actually, if it works, quite brilliant.
Yeah.
You just have to get past the fact that, hey, we want to make more mosquitoes than we already have.
Trust us, this is going to work.
Sure hope so. Famous last words, hopefully not.